this winter because of the foreclosure crisis. People like Vanessa, who would never before this economic recession have been homeless.
We don't report the homeless number daily like we do the Dow, that's for sure.
That's exactly right. So we're talking about this today, about the new homeless who often lost their homes in the foreclosure crisis and are now ending up in need of shelter. And we'll return to Vanessa Labarca. She is in Boston. Vanessa lost her job, couldn't find work, and you're now in a private shelter in Boston, correct?
That's right.
With your daughter.
Mm-hmm.
You had an opportunity to move elsewhere and possibly find shelter, but your daughter would have been far away from her school.
That's right.
So what do you need? What would you need to get out of shelter? Is it a job? Is that basically the main thing that you need? Or is there other things that they could be doing to help you get out of the homeless shelter?
They do a lot of things here to help us. That's their primary goal. They help us direct us in ways that we can find housing, such as filling out applications for state and federally aided housing projects through the housing authorities in different towns across the state, which I've done. And the lists are very long. It's really discouraging to get a letter back saying that it could be 5 to 7 years before a unit becomes available.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
Vanessa, are you ready for winter?
Yeah.
You are.
Good for her.
I like the winter. I love it.
Libby Hayes is the executive director of Homes for Families, and she joins us from Boston as well. Good morning, Libby.
Good morning.
How many people do we have, like Vanessa, who have become newly homeless after losing their jobs first, but they've lost their homes because of the foreclosure crisis?
Well, our state shelter system has been full for the past couple of years now. Right now, we have over 1,030 families in motels across the state, which is on top of our 2,000 shelter units. And compared to last year, we had about 600 families in motels. In 2007, we had about 35. So we've gone up significantly in the past couple of years.
The state of Massachusetts requires that you find you can't turn people away from homeless shelters. That's why they're ending up in motels.
Yes, as long as a family is deemed eligible and meets strict eligibility requirements, then the state has the responsibility to shelter the families.
Strict eligibility requirements. Does that mean if you're making any money, you're not going to get shelter?
It's about 115% right now of the federal poverty level.
Okay.
So pretty much any family that's working more than part-time.
So let's also bring in James Forestieri, a 31-year-old New Yorker who's living at the Bowery Mission. Good morning, James.
Good morning.
And Steve Berg is with the National Alliance to End Homelessness. He's the vice president for programs and policy. He joins us from Washington, D.C. James, you ended up in a homeless shelter after you left your job diamond trading.
Correct.
And since then, you haven't been able to get a job.
Correct.
Explain to me, it must be, I mean, as hard as it is for somebody who is who has a home to find a job, mm-hmm. It must be doubly harder or more to find a job when you're homeless.
Absolutely. I believe that in my experience it's been hard for the simple fact is when you lose everything and become homeless, hopelessness follows. So what happens for me is that I start to feel like there is no hope, and then why bother? When you end up having everything and losing everything, and so-called hit bottom, as they say, it's hard to pick yourself back up.
When you say you had everything, what do you mean by that?
I had a great job, had money in the bank, had a fancy title and secretary, and had all the things that society said I should have. And when I lost everything, it was a sense of desperation. I ended up in a place not knowing how I got there.
Are you ready for winter?
A little bit.
A little bit. Steve Berg, you've been hearing these stories from Vanessa and James. Is this a national picture of what's happening with a lot of families and people across the country?
This is absolutely a national picture. I mean, we had gotten to the point in like early 2007 before the recession started where we probably had the fewest homeless people we'd have in 20 years, but there was still 250,000 people homeless then. And since then, unemployment has gone from about 4.5% to about 9.5%. There are thousands and thousands of people who have lost their jobs. And many, many of those people have had the same experience. They lose their jobs. They can't pay for housing. Their families can't support them. And they end up on the streets or in shelters.
Vanessa, how does it complicate your job search that you don't have a permanent address?
Actually, the shelter where I live, I am allowed to use this address, and I'm I decided not to continue to look for a job because through the shelter I learned that I'm eligible for a scholarship, and so I decided to go back to school full time.
Libby, I've got a question for you. You're executive director of Homes for Families up there in Boston. And because you're not allowed by statute to turn people away in Massachusetts, people end up in motels. It sounds like a double whammy in the sense that the economy, it means there's a lot of vacancies in hotels. Is it easy to find placements for people? And explain how it's not really a picnic to be in a motel if you're homeless.
Right. Well, it's interesting because the hotels are getting harder and harder to find with so many families and also being foliage season. In Massachusetts, there's lots of demand on some of the motels here.
Interesting.
But it's not a picnic. There's no cooking facilities in the majority of the motels. We're not putting up families at the Ritz. There's no cooking facilities. There's limited services, limited access to phones, transportation. So a lot of the families are pretty much stuck in a motel on the side of the highway. Transportation's arranged for the kids to get to school, but it's really hard to do job search, to do housing search, and some of the scariest things are is just being able to give your children the proper nutrition without the lack of refrigeration, microwaves, cooking facilities.
And that is not a permanent address that somebody would put on a job application, right?
Right.
Libby?
Right.
Steve, is what's happening with people when they go into foreclosure? I mean, people talk a lot about the homeless lag. And I assume what they mean is that it takes a while. Somebody doesn't lose their job and immediately end up at a shelter, right?
Well, right. First let me say, there are people who are having their homes foreclosed that own their homes and then end up in shelter as soon as they're foreclosed. For the most part, the people who are becoming homeless are people who were renting, relatively modest places because it's people whose incomes weren't that high to start with. People who lose their jobs, some don't, but many have family resources to fall back on. They may have savings, they may have credit. So yeah, it does take a while, but some people it takes not very long at all. Other people it takes months or even years of joblessness before they end up homeless. It's a destination a lot of people end up with.
If it's hard enough to take care of the homeless, 250,000, I think you said, before the economic recession, so
right.
Now that the states have even fewer resources than before, how are they supposed to handle these large numbers of people who are newly homeless?
Well, it's been very grim. I mean, I should say that the Obama administration and Congress have come up with $1.5 billion in a new program that's really about helping people pay security deposits, pay a few months' rent, try and either prevent them from becoming homeless in the first place or else get them back into housing, get them help finding a job. That money is just, the state and local governments have gotten the money. They're working really hard to get it out, and it's just now hitting the streets. So hopefully there's some help on the way in some places. But
in time,
sure it's going to be enough.
In time, potentially, for winter. James Forestieri, a homeless New Yorker, you live at the Bowery Mission. Do you put that address on your job search application?
Yeah, we can use that as a job search.
And how do you feel about doing that?
It's humbling.
It's humbling?
Very humbling. I think nobody would know that address unless they've been down to the Bowery, as we were talking about, know that area.
James, as a diamond trader, do you know anything about the dealing with the government to get the programs and the income and the assistance that you're going to need to get through this winter?
I do not.
You do not?
I do not. All I know is that I'm at the Bowery Mission. It's not like any typical shelter. What they do is they help with assistance in getting housing, education. I also made a decision. I was just accepted to Nyack College to go back to school and make the best opportunity out of the position I'm in. So what they do at the Bowery Mission is a wide variety of things. They help with education, they plug us into getting trades if you don't have trades. So I don't really know what the national programs are available. I know that what the Bowery offers us is definitely some hope, as I came in hopeless, as I was talking about earlier, allows us to get the most benefits out of ourselves and encourages us to do so.
Good luck, James.
James Forestieri is a 31-year-old homeless New Yorker. He lives at the Bowery Mission right now. We also spoke with Vanessa LaBarca from Boston, who's at a private shelter there with her daughter. Libby Hayes is the executive director of Homes for Families in Massachusetts. And Steve Berg is the with the National Alliance to End Homelessness. He joined us from Washington, D.C. It sounds like the takeaway there, John, is that this is going to be a hard winter.
Facing winter. Are you prepared for winter? How are you? And tell us your story at 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytakeatthetakeaway.org.
I'm Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, our team has been reporting high-quality news about science, technology, and medicine. News you won't get anywhere else. And now that political news is 24/7, our audience is turning to us to know about the really important stuff in their lives. Cancer, climate change, genetic engineering, childhood diseases. Our sponsors know the value of science and health news. For more sponsorship information, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.